Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Look at the... Come on. You know what I don't have is the come on. The Job.
Oh, Job.
Hey.
Nate can do it so perfectly.
Really?
Uh-huh. You can do a perfect Job.
Nate, call now and do a perfect Job. Nate, I command you. Call. Call now and do a perfect Job Bluth. That's the thing I gotta get. You know, the great thing about this audience is, as I've noted, it really is like the power of distributed computing. If we need something, bam, we put the call out and there it is. I'm a donut. It's like the other day, remember we were talking about how I needed the Chinese protester? I was lamenting, I was like, oh, I don't have the Chinese protester sound, and then... It's fair. I mean, it's, I say that I need it, and suddenly there it is. So if somebody out there is able to, somebody's out there able to track up the Joe Bluth, come on, you forward that our way. It's like with the clown thing. See, right there. I need the clown thing arrives.
You really don't need it.
I do. Somebody find the Joe Bluth wave. Send that our way. It's 503-733-2970. All right, I'm over the Lucas thing.
Thank you.
I'm gonna move on.
Did you get the magazine cover that he made you?
I don't want to dwell. Yeah, somebody sent me a faux Portland Life magazine. That's got the, it's got me, strangling George Lucas. Somebody says, Rick, about Harrison Ford, this clear and present danger. First of all, clear and present danger was like 15 years ago, wasn't it? That wasn't even within the last decade. He's just stopped. Listen to this story.
Wait, first of all, do you want to get the Job thing out of the way?
Oh, do we have that?
Yeah.
Is this Nate?
Line one, yeah.
Hi, Nate.
I made a big mistake, Michael.
Okay, come on, can you give us the come on?
Come on!
Oh,
I can tell that he's holding back because he's around his coworkers.
No, but the, I
mean, work.
I made a big mistake was fantastic.
That's actually my best Job, right? I made a big mistake. That's my line.
Well, see, here's the thing. Here's the thing is that people do, you know, every guy on the planet now does the stupid, everybody does, like Christopher Walken now, and everybody does, like, well, who are the most overdone impressions? I'm not trying to be like a kooky topic show guy, but who are the most overdone, like, you know.
The Godfather.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. I have taken that out. Anyone does an Arnold Schwarzenegger? I'm the governor. See you later. Have a nice day. Pat on the back.
Yeah, it's, I never need to hear. Okay, here's another thing people need to quit saying. Here's another, and see, can you see how I am a hack even as I try not to be one? Here's me seamlessly transitioning John and Jeff style into a, you know, here's another thing people need to quit saying. But, you know, I'm going to shoot in the face and then dance on the grave of the next person who says that, the next person who uses the you can't handle the truth. Here's the thing, is that screaming something in a gravelly voice does not make you sound like Jack Nicholson, you know? Are you with me?
I absolutely, yeah, kabooly, yeah. Right, yeah, right. You can't handle the truth, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who else? What's the other one?
I don't know.
People say this now.
It just bugs me. Okay, give me the Job one more time, I've made a big mistake.
I've made a big mistake, Michael.
That's fantastic. Excellent, there you go. Thank you, Nate. There you go, that's Nate.
That's how we entertain ourselves.
Hermano, eh? Yeah, see, I can't do it. I can't do the come on. I can't really do that. As everybody knows, I can only do Hank Hill, and I can do the stick figure from the Michael Hertzfeld cartoons. That's it.
Cue necessary Hank Hill impersonation.
No, I'm not going to do it, because it's not even Hank Hill so much as it is Tom Anderson. All I'm saying is that the next guy who does the you can't handle the truth is going to get a boot in his eye. That's all I'm talking about. Because here's the thing is you distinguish yourself. We should build up a whole sort of repertory company. Is that what it's called?
Huh?
Repertoire? Is it not repertory? What's the kind of a theater company? Is it a repertory company?
I believe so, yes.
All right, we should build up a whole repertory company of people who do impressions that no one else does. See, because here's the thing about the Job. No one's doing the Job right now. It's wide open territory. If you can do an impression of Job Bluth, I mean, it's fertile ground because nobody's doing it. Nate should make his mark right now. He distinguishes himself by being able to do Job Bluth. Everybody else is out there doing, as he said, everybody else is doing Schwarzenegger or something. Everybody else is still out there doing, You know, everybody else is still out there doing bad Hans and Franz impersonations.
Okay.
I'm just saying. It's the only point I'm making. Should I be taking whoever this is?
Sure.
I don't stuff I was going to get to. The point is, clear and present danger does not count, by the way. Because it was not even within the last decade. And furthermore...
You are grumpy again.
I'm not grumpy. It's simply...
Tim just nodded.
I'm not grumpy. You're grumpy.
I'm not the one screaming at the top of my lungs about everything.
I'm not screaming. You're
I'd
screaming.
I'd say that maybe you're in the blood hut this week.
I'm not in the blood hut. You're in the blood hut.
No, my friend.
Can I tell you this about the blood hut?
Sure.
Last night I was at home working on some, writing some production elements.
If this is a story about Lara and her menstruation, I don't want to know.
Oh, well, never mind. No, it's not. It's not. I was at home last night working on, cause you know, we have the new production here, the new voice guy, and you know, we have all the solid state stuff. So I was writing some new production scripts. Can I tell you that I came this close? I came this close to having the voice guy voice A. You are now entering the Rick Emerson Blood Hut. And then I didn't. I pulled it back and I didn't do it. I didn't pull the trigger because here's the problem is you would find that Blood Hut sounder funny except when we would actually have to use it. That's the irony of it. Because when Sarah Dillon is having her special time, we refer to that on the Rick Emerson Show as being in the Blood Hut.
We do not.
We do. And you would call it that. You're the one who named it.
I don't. No, not everybody needs to know that.
Back at KOTK, you named it. And see, you would find it funny except when it was necessary. The 3 days
when... It's so gross sounding.
It's like a Lady Hawk thing. Like the 3 days when we would actually need it, those are the days when you would not want me to use it. All right. Well, I don't know who these people are. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this? Hello. Yellow. It's raining where I am. Hi.
Yep.
Hi, who's this?
I think you tried enough.
Turn that radio up.
Okay, I can... Whoever
no, I
is...
can hear him breathing, I know.
Hello. What is your question?
Des Moines!
Rick, please.
Oh, for the love of God. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Tony.
Hi, Tony. What's up?
I'm tired of the bad quagmires, man.
Ah!
The giggity giggity giggities.
From Family Guy.
Like, the Family Guy is probably my favorite show, but I can't stand everybody doing all the characters.
Oh, Stewie gets overdone, too.
Oh, well, the Stewie gets overdone. Here's why, since we're just knee-deep in this, talking about overdone, and it's not even... It's not even like impressions as so much, because you know what I mean? It's like an impression implies that you are able to do a lot of dialogue in the character of some person. Like for the longest time, everybody would do Al Pacino.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can say, look, I can do a good Al Pacino impression, that implies that you can do a whole lot of stuff as Al Pacino. But this weird thing has happened in American culture where it's no longer, people can't even do whole impressions anymore. They can just say like one line.
Exactly.
It's no longer they can do a whole speech about this one time I'll let you ask me about my affairs. They just do the hoo-ah and that's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've all just become like me where I can't do Alec Baldwin. I can just do the always be closing. That's it. But Stewie is overdone, and I'll tell you why he's overdone. Since we're talking about overdone stupid impressions, quasi impressions. Stewie is overdone because everybody had 12 years practice doing Mr. Burns, who Stewie clearly is. So I'm with you on that. So here's what I want you to do. Next time somebody starts doing a bad Family Guy anything, especially Stewie, I want you to kick that person right in the testicles. Will you do that for me?
I will.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Tony.
We didn't cite violence.
And call us after it was done.
Call us while you're doing it. Call, like, if you work with a guy who does a bad Stewie, I want you to call me on the phone. And then I want you, don't kick him in the testicle. I mean, wait. And then wait till you're on the air. And then just give him a good hard kick right in the junk. So we can hear it.
And that's after you clean out your desk.
It'll be. Do it at a job you don't care for. And then here's the great thing is,
there are plenty of jobs out there.
It'll be a lesson to the rest of them. Okay. People are sending me Harrison Ford news now. Want to hear a Harrison Ford story?
Yes.
Are you lying?
Mm-mm.
You know, I'm not grumpy. You know, I think it's you all that are grumpy. I'm perfectly fine.
You know what? You didn't have to sit here and listen to you screaming at the top of your lungs about George Lucas for 5 minutes.
Well, you know, if George Lucas would just quit doing this to us,
He's going to do this to you. Stop watching his movies. Stop buying his crap.
I'm not buying his crap anymore.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Harrison Ford says, I hate the internet. Harrison Ford hates the internet because it means anyone can spread malicious gossip.
That's a passing fancy.
The actor who plays a computer security specialist in his latest film, Firewall. What year is this from? Firewall. I don't even know what Firewall is. Was that a film he put out?
It came out a few months ago.
Who goes to see Harrison Ford films now? Who is his target demographic? Season need to censor his words to avoid being misrepresented online. He says, the worst thing about the internet is that anything and everything is up for grabs. Any kind of rubbish goes on the internet and then has a life of its own. So there you go. Harrison Ford. Stupid Harrison Ford. I'm fine. I'm completely happy. It's just that I'm surrounded by fools. I don't mean you or the people listening to this program, of course. I mean in the world. Not you.
No, I didn't think you.
Clearly, I am exempting you and the people who enjoy this fine radio show from the fools.
Well, all right, then.
Don't give me that look.
Miss
Thang. All right.
Don't forget who has the power to...
I'm just saying.
You are grumpy.
I'm not grumpy. In no way am I grumpy. Rick, does Sarah's therapist do couples counseling? It sounds like somebody needs to go. All right.
What, for you and me?
Yeah. It's not... I don't think so.
Oh, I think that this is the relationship that's bothering me right now. Maybe this is what I talk about.
Is it?
My couples.
Do you talk about... Let me ask you this. When you go to see your therapist,
I think you're insensitive. And that you just want to use any little part of my life to try and increase ratings.
Well, that is true.
Yeah.
But other than that, though, what's the issue? Because now, do you talk more... Let me ask you this. When you go to see your therapist, they're of myself, your boyfriend, and your family... What would you say, would you rank those for me, please, now, 1 through 3, in the order or frequency in which they are discussed?
I think I talk about not specifically you, but work.
Now, was this work here or work at Coin?
Just work in general. Like, what I want to do, like, how I want to balance my...
That doesn't really sound like it's about me, though.
No,
what does your therapist think of me? Does your therapist think I'm a good influence or a bad influence? When can we have your therapist on?
My therapist told me that she thought that I was a good influence on you.
Well, that's clearly...
You seem a little reckless.
I'm not... Because I'm living on the edge. I'm a bad boy. So your therapist thinks that you are a calming influence?
I don't know.
When can we have your therapist on?
I do not know.
All right.
I'm only down to like once a month, though, because my insurance is about ready to stop covering it.
Oh, so you're not going to be able to go?
No. Because it's like $150.
Oh, no, I know. When I was going, my therapist was jacking me. It was like $95 an hour.
I know. Well, which sucks, because if I could afford it, I would go like forever. I love it.
Does this mean that you're going to become all in... Does this mean that your mental health is going to deteriorate?
See, I didn't tell you when I started. You don't know when I started. I could have been doing it for a week. I could have been doing it for... 3 years.
Oh, you've been very pleasant to work with, though. Does that mean that's going to come to an end? Are you going to get all grumpy?
No.
Maybe. Okay, how many sessions do you have left with your therapist?
I think like 3 or 4.
Okay,
I've been trying to figure out a way to weasel out some free sessions, but I don't know how to work it.
Okay, how about this? To make the most of your upcoming therapy sessions, what if the audience were to weigh in? Because who knows you better than the people who listen to this program? They listen to you 15 hours a week. No. Hear me out.
No.
I'm not saying the audience would give you therapy as such. I'm saying, what if the audience, maybe from their perspective, helped to create a short list of issues that they feel you might want to bring up?
You know, considering that they just sent me something about couples therapy and I've never even spoken about my issues with Nate or any other boyfriend, then...
I don't think
the audience knows
me. That's clearly
very well.
Not true.
Well, except for the, you know, the whole...
Dildo.
Except for that small incident.
I'm just saying, maybe the audience has unique insights, an objective perspective.
You know, I would rather just spend 1 hour a month finding out what my problems are than having a 3-hour show going on and on about what people think is wrong with me.
Not what's wrong with you, but it's what's right with you that we could polish to an even higher shine.
Not really into that idea. Appreciate your thoughts, though, because I know that your my well-being is in mind for you.
Are you being sarcastic?
No.
Okay. Let's read this story.
There's plenty to talk about today, isn't there?
Let's read the story about an eyelid injury.
Good.
And we'll read this. And then we'll break. And then we got Ed McCarthy coming up. This is from a teacher, by the way. Subject line, horrible, horrible pain. It's the best show ever. Mm-hmm. Something horrible happened this morning. Followed by, I work at an elementary school. While I will not give his name, or did I already? Well, whatever. While walking into school, I noticed a couple of paramedics surrounding a student. On further inspection, I found to my dismay, and dismay doesn't really seem like a strong enough word in this context, the student, here's what I don't understand. The student, Rick, had somehow caught her eyelid in her zipper.
Oh.
See, that's what I'm talking about. It's all for that. This whole hour and 20 minute buildup has been worth it just for that sentence and the reaction on everybody's faces. I do not know what this child could have done to deserve such horrible karmic punishment. But from this I learned that God must be a vengeful God, and he will eventually get us all. Signed, Troy, super genius and dude of destiny. I tried to email Troy back, but Troy obviously does go to a real school because the school rejected my email as coming from a disallowed account for reasons of graphic content. So I was not able to email Troy. I was trying to figure out what article of clothing this girl got her eyelid caught in and how that would happen. Mm-hmm. So Troy, if you are out there, if you're listening, if you're able to call in, I'd like to know exactly how her eyelid became caught in the zipper and what zipper we're talking about and how the situation was remedied. Because normally if you catch something in a zipper, it's just, you just give that zipper a good yanking. It doesn't really seem like that's going to work when it's her eyelid. Amazingly enough, this is not the horrific injury story that we have. That one's over here. This is just sort of an aperitif.
Well, I've got something even better, but I'm not telling.
Fantastic. Best show ever. We'll come back. It's Rick Emerson Show. We got your phone calls coming up. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy from Atlanta talking about religious pinheads on the march. Later on, Jen Lane will be here. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio.
Now let's get it all in perspective for all...
All right, this phrase is for Sean in engineering. Caught her eyelid in her zipper. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I don't know how I'm going to contact this guy since his email provider is rejecting everything that comes from this
he
building.
He said he's going to call back.
He
called.
Oh, really? The Troy?
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. Good news. All right. That's not even the horrific injury story today, though. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick at rickemerson.com. Oh, is this Troy here?
Yes.
All right. So let me just read this email quickly, and then we'll get the call. Subject line, horrible pain. Rick, something horrible happened. I work at an elementary school. While walking in, I noticed a couple of paramedics surrounding a student. Upon further inspection, I found to my dismay that she had... caught her eyelid in her zipper.
See?
This is the best show ever. Do you think anybody else on the dial has a show like this? I don't think so.
No.
Show where to go away, you'd have nothing. All right. Troy?
Yeah.
What the hell? WTF, as the kids say.
I don't know, man.
What? Okay, so let's lay it out. Are you a... Well, how do we... Are you a teacher? Can you tell us?
No, I'm just a volunteer.
You're a volunteer, but this is at an elementary school.
Yeah.
Okay, so lay it out for me. You're walking in, you got your coffee in one hand, your whatever in the other, you're ready to face the day, you're bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, springing your step, dipping your hip. You walk
exactly.
In, and there was a student. Is she on her back?
No, she was sitting down.
Sitting down in a chair?
Yeah, in the office.
Sitting down in the office in a chair, surrounded by paramedics?
Yes.
Okay.
Horrified looks on their faces.
Horrified looks. She's sitting upright, or is her head lowered? How is she sitting?
Her head is backwards.
Okay.
She's in her chair, leaning her head back, and okay. Everyone's surrounding and looking down.
Okay.
Like in The Exorcist.
Like in The Exorcist. And her eyelid, which, first, upper or lower eyelid?
I would assume the upper eyelid, but I didn't get close enough to see it.
Okay. Upper eyelid, caught in a zipper. What kind of zipper and what article of clothing?
All right, it was like a sweatshirt with a zipper on it.
Oh, and they got big teeth. Those sweatshirt zippers, there's no fooling around.
Exactly.
All right, so how did this happen?
I don't know. Apparently, she was on the bus, on the school bus, and that's all I know. Either some sort of bump, but I was trying to figure it out, and I just can't do it.
There's no bump that can cause that to happen. This is... Saying a bump could get your eyelid caught in the zipper of a sweatshirt is like those intelligent design idiots. saying that, I mean, no, there's no, saying that, this is, no, it's not going to happen. These things do not happen. No.
I can't figure it out any other way.
No, this is like when the intelligent design guys are like, they say, well, creation could not have happened by chance. Someone had to actually guide this. They're right about this kind of thing. This eyelid and a zipper has to happen by design. There is no accidental bump that creates this situation. Now, by the time you left, had they resolved this?
They took her away to the hospital.
Oh, they couldn't even do it there. They had to haul her away, eyelid still stuck in a zipper.
Yeah, from that point on, all I heard is rumors. I've heard that they had to, like, cut her eyelid.
Oh,
like in Rocky.
Just awful things, all I've heard.
You know,
I can't tell if any of them are true or not.
You know, it doesn't matter, because you know what this girl is now? She's a legend. This girl is an urban legend. You are right now witnessing the creation of an urban legend, kids. This girl. All right, Troy, call us or email if you have any updates.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. Oh, that's fair. I could do 3 days on that.
Ugh.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Atlanta. It's CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Ed, how are you?
Hey, Rick. How are you this afternoon?
Well, I don't have my eyelid caught in anything crunchy.
Oh, unbelievable story.
That's one of those stories you always hear about at school, right? Like, you always hear that he was running with a pencil in his mouth, and then it went out the back of his skull. Like, we are now actually witnessing the creation of one of those stories that'll be passed around.
Oh, that'll be passed around for a long time, I guarantee you.
I'm just glad that I was here to document it as a journalist. Hey, so speaking of schools and nitwits, so we were just talking yesterday about the Minutemen, this posse of fools that was trucking through your fine town and just embarrassing all of us. And I myself, I will say this, I have never been to the South, although I do, and I mean it sincerely, I long to go to the South. My wife and I keep talking about doing a long road trip through the southern part of America, because there's many elements of southern culture, style, heritage, and history that I long to see. And you know that the South has much to be proud of in terms of historical impact, in terms of development, in terms of culture. But every so often, you guys have a story that comes out of there that has just got to embarrass you because it makes everybody in the South look like a pinhead.
Oh.
And this is this Harry Potter story.
This is an unbelievable story. Just to set it up, it's been going on for a while. This one woman started it. I guess now she has six of her closest friends along for the ride. She is against Harry Potter books. She wants them taken out of the Gwinnett County, Georgia library system. So they're having this big meeting tonight. And they're going to make a decision on whether or not they're going to do that, which they won't, by the way. I can bet the bottom dollar on that one that they're not going to do it. Now, here's the thing. She's an evangelical Christian.
Of course.
And she's got three kids in school, and she says, well, you know, those books are bad because, you know, witchcraft and all kinds of things. And now, here's the problem. She's never read any of the books.
Well, of course, because that would just muck up the whole works if she actually didn't know what the hell she was talking about.
Exactly.
Ugh, all right, and so I don't want to paint the South unfairly. Does this sort of thing happen as often as the rest of the country is led to believe, or is she really an anomaly?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you'll get people like this all over the country. I mean, you know, it's not just here, but you know, for someone to, you know, come out and get such an uproar going. And then she's got their kids that were testifying and saying, the kid says, oh yeah, she says, I felt like getting involved in witchcraft after I read the book.
How would one even do that? We were talking earlier today about something or other, and somebody was talking about methamphetamines or terrorism or something, and I was making the point that even if I wanted to become a criminal mastermind, like, I wouldn't even know who to call. Like, I wouldn't know where to start. If I decided I wanted to practice witchcraft tomorrow, I'm not even really sure I'd know what to do. That sounds
exactly. Well, you know, you and I stir the pot a lot, but that doesn't mean that we're into witchcraft.
It just sounds like one of those things I wouldn't even know how to begin. Like, if a guy came to me and said, look, I'll give you $100, you become a practicing wizard. Like, that seems like one of those things that's a good idea until you start walking to the front door, and then you realize you don't know what the hell you would even do.
It would cost you more to buy the outfit.
Seriously. So, You think the school's going to tell this woman to pound it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank God. See, that's a solid step forward for this country.
Exactly. You know, and there are other people who say, you know, well, the Harry Potter books, at least they get kids to read.
Yeah, it's true.
Kids that weren't reading, now they're, you know, involved in it, and it's an educational process because it creates conversation for them, you know. At least they get into something else. And, you know, the movies are pretty good.
See,
I talked to this one outfit, Scholastic Incorporated, out of New York, and they've got, like, this interactive Harry Potter game, and they deal with all the books and everything. And, you know, of course, naturally, they're going to say, hey, you know, Harry Potter is great. But this one woman is just, she's been doing this now for a while. There's the school bus going by. Hey, kids, read Harry Potter.
Be careful of those sweaters with the zippers.
All right. Thank you, Ed McCarthy.
All right.
All right. There you go. Look at that. Going out on the punchline.
Why couldn't the kids just go to a Southern witchcraft store, though? They have them at, like, a mini mall?
You know, here's the thing. Doesn't it make you want to find, you know, kids, like, and teach them witchcraft yourself?
Well, let them read this book.
What is this? Yeah. Stand for Something. The Battle for America. Yes, and buy a Sean Hannity book while you're at it, too.
Yeah.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. There you go. Here's what's coming up. Jen Lane is going to be here from Barfly Magazine. We've also got the news pile we're going to get to, and so forth. And we've got, we should clarify. Oh, and I've still got this horrific story. This is not the, oh, see, now I had sort of demarcated these stories out. I had the eyelid in the zipper story. Mm-hmm. There's some sort of eyelids in the stream joke there. Somebody asked me if the girl was trying to score a lid at school.
Oh, Kenny Rogers is going to be on TV tonight.
Really? Yeah. Him and his mysterious non-blinking reptilian eyes.
Let's see. I marked it out here.
Every time he blinks, it's got to hurt. It's just like, blink, ow, blink, ow, blink, ow. I mean,
He's on Martha Stewart.
Now, maybe she can make over
at
his
six.
Face. Anyway, so I have the girl with her eyelid in a zipper. That's the first time I've ever heard of that happening. I mean, I didn't think at this point it was possible to come up with new injuries. You know what I mean? It's sort of like coming up with a new sexual position. You sort of think that you figure they're all done. You figure that anything underneath the sun, anything you could imagine, any sort of deviance or perversion that you could come up with in the bedroom or in a, you know, wherever, you figure that somebody's done it before. So you think with injuries. You think, well, you know, shoot yourself with a nail gun. You know, that's been, look, we've, how many nail gun injuries have we had on this show? Dozens. Dozens of injuries with nail guns. We've had staple gun accidents, hot glue gun accidents, guy jumping around, testicles land on a wood-burning stove. We had that.
We never get tired of them.
No, we had a guy who caught his junk on a barbed wire fence. We've had it all. And I thought that we had reached the apex, the pinnacle. I thought we had used it all up. And then we got the eyelid and the zipper story.
No.
I'm sorry, are we... It's not another eyelid in a zipper story, is it?
No.
Oh, okay. Just checking. So, anyway. So we had that, and then we had this. This other horrific story. I had delayed this one because I thought it was worse, but I'm not sure now. We'll get to it here in just a moment. And then we'll go to the city desk. Hi, Rick Emerson. Who's this?
This is Dante.
Hi, Dante. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good.
What's up?
Did I hear you say you wanted to get into witchcraft?
Yes, it was not...
No, I have the mechanics on the sweater with the eyelid thing.
Okay.
Now, if you're pulling off a hooded sweatshirt,
right.
The zipper is still done. You know, it's halfway up.
Okay, so hold on. Let me get this in my head. So I'm a girl. I'm on the bus. I got my hooded sweatshirt zipped halfway up, let's say, to about sternum level. Okay.
Sure. And you want to take it off.
Right.
You want to take it off.
Right.
Then, sure, why not? Pull it up over your head without unzipping it.
I guess, because if she's a young, she's an elementary girl, so I guess she's not at that age where she's concerned it's going to mess up her hair, probably. So she wouldn't unzip it, so she might just pull it straight up.
Yeah, and an eyelid gets in the way of that zipper, man.
How would your eyelid get in the way? What, does she have eyelids like bat wings? What is the...
Yeah, the...
You'd have to have huge eyelids.
Formidable eyeballs sticking out over the... top of her nose or something. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, that's how that's going to work. And she's going to get it caught, and it's going to be stuck, and it's going to be, you know, there's going to be all kinds of mayhem.
I don't know. I'm going to have to see some sort of reproduction of this. So we're going to have to, this is going to be one of those, like, unsolved mystery things where they reenact the scene.
Right.
Like
right.
a CSI kind of a thing?
Well, and I'll Tebow that and watch it backwards and forwards. That's going to be cool.
Right.
But yes. you know exactly who to call if you wanted to get involved in witchcraft or wizardry or that
Clyde.
Thing. Absolutely.
Yeah, no,
Clyde
it's true.
Man.
All right. Thank you, sir.
We need him back on the air, by the way.
Dude, you're singing my song. I'm Clyde's biggest fan.
We need some ground zero.
Right? Thank you. All right, there you go.
You should pick up line two really quick.
Tim is sitting here feeling unwanted.
I know, but you really should.
No, I was taking a little snooze.
Okay. I, Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
Hey, Rick, this is John.
Hey, John, what's up?
Well, I'm really glad you and Tim are back on the air, and
thank you.
I've got a little story for you.
Not Sarah. That's okay. You were running out of things to talk to your therapist about anyway.
Sorry.
You and Tim and whoever. Who's that? Kara? All right, what's...
I had a girlfriend who got her ear slammed in a car door.
Oh, hello.
How do you do that?
You want to hear how it happened?
Yes, more than anything.
Okay, we get in the car. It's a Volkswagen Fastback. I get in the driver's seat. I put the key in, and I hear her slam the door and scream. I look over, and her ear is in the car door. I don't know how it happened. I didn't see
top of the ear or the ear lobe?
The top of her.
Oh, that one especially, that's where all the cartilage and veins are.
Oh, man, it was bad. So she's frantically pawing, screaming, and I get out and run around and open the door.
Oh, God damn.
It was bad.
Okay, now, is that the kind of car door where there's a lot of rubberizing, or is it just metal on metal?
There was rubberizing.
All right, so at least you got that going for you.
Yeah. It didn't tear her ear off. It just hurt like hell.
Well, okay, and so was she in... Okay, so she was inside the car?
Inside the car.
So she couldn't sit down. She was in the process of sitting down. You know what this is like? That is like when you're leaving... I did this once. You're leaving the... God damn, I love injury stories. They're fantastic.
Yes, they are.
I was leaving the house one time when I was about 18. And when my parents... I still lived at home. I was just getting ready to move away. But my parents had a big, heavy wooden front door.
Oh, God.
And I didn't shut the door using the doorknob, the handle. Here, I did what guys do sometimes. I had my hand wrapped around the side edge of the door, yanking it shut behind me. But a heavy wooden door, it gets up... You know, the inertia is pretty swift there. It gets up to a good speed. And I was... You know, wham, I go to pull the door shut, and then what happens is you start pulling the door by the edge, disengage your hand, and then you get your hand towards your body before the door makes, you know, contact with the frame. Not so much. Just in time for the door to cinch down and catch three of my fingernails between the heavy wooden door and the frame. Within 6 months, the fingernails all turned black and fell out. I had no... It's a lot of laughs. On my left hand, I was missing three, my ring finger, middle finger, and pointer finger. I was missing the fingernail. There were literally no fingernails there for like 6 months.
Oh, that stays with you for a long time.
Oh yeah, it's a good time. All right.
I got a couple songs I think you'd really like, and I want to send them to you. Would you give me an address I can send them?
It's rick@rickemerson.com, sir.
Oh, I thought you were saying that didn't work.
No, I think it's okay. It gets full sometimes, but rick@rickemerson should work.
I'll send them.
All right, thank you, sir.
Bye, man.
All right,
bye.
Goodbye. Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, it's your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. From Durham, North Carolina, comes word. A man who pleaded guilty to throwing a homemade bomb at his girlfriend said he was actually aiming for a beaver dam. In the end, he was the only person injured and now faces 10 months in prison as well. Otis Cecil Wilkins pled guilty to assault with a deadly weapon and was sentenced to 300 days in jail. He was charged with attempted first-degree murder. According to sheriff's deputies, Wilkins had threatened the ex-girlfriend, then threw a bottle bomb at her car as she drove into her yard. And it exploded into a large fireball, then rolled back toward Wilkin, igniting his shorts.
Fantastic.
Apparently, Wilkin's target was a beaver dam, says his public defender. It was blocked by a waterfall, and you see that bomb was ignited by ash from a cigarette that fell onto the fuse.
Imagine having to be the minimum wage public defender, was to come up with these cockamamie theories. Trying to get rid of a beaver dam.
And because the bomb ignited his shorts, he'll be in the hospital burn center for more than a week.
Good for him.
I ain't no terrorist, he's quoted as saying. I was just a little, it was just a little bit of black powder. It was just a little boom thing.
want to sample that. Tim Riley saying it was just a little boom thing.
Mm-hmm.
It just a little black powder. Just a little boom thing. There you go. There's Tim Riley.
Faced with opposition from conservative groups and some pornography websites, the Internet's key oversight group has voted to reject a proposal to create a red light district on the Internet.
The whole Internet's a red light district. What the hell? Is this the .xxx domain?
Yes, it is. Domains. So there will be no such thing after all.
You don't need them. The whole... You know, we were talking about how we have this 970.am, and I was talking about how groundbreaking we are.
Yes.
You know, our sister station, Kink FM, very fine station, a station we're proud to be affiliated with, who, by the way, just kicked the holy snot out of everybody, and good on them. They, you know, can I just tell you this, that they have Kink.fm. Not surprisingly, Kink.everything else takes you to something you probably don't want to see. So, the whole Internet, like the de facto... use for the Internet is pornography. Everyone knows this. You ought to just roll with it. Just embrace it.
Meanwhile, a teacher at the West Boca Raton Florida High School. This is Florida also.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is, let's go now to our favorite state, which is the state Florida. We call Florida.
It is under investigation after school district officials learned about risque photos of her on a website. Erica Chevalier, who's 25, is the first-year social studies teacher at the school. She also is one of the 80 models featured on the website of the U.S. National Bikini Team.
She is hot, by the way.
This, according to the website...
She looks like Sarah's friend Delane.
Oh. She's using the name Erica Lee. She appears in outfits ranging from cleavage-bearing jackets to skimpy bikinis in about 24 photos. West Bocaton High School principal Fran Gilbin said he learned about the photos Wednesday after a parent complained. He turned the matter over to the district's professional standards department, which handles these type of things. I would certainly hope that we set the highest standards for our students. If the fact is true,
Florida.
It's a concern, a big concern.
Since when is it a crime to be a hot teacher? She's not even nude. It's just a bikini. What are you going to do? She doesn't so much look like Delane as she looks like Tara Reid, who in turn kind of looks like Sarah's friend Delane.
TV Tonight, The Poseidon Adventure, the original one is on.
It's true. You know it's true.
No. Doesn't look like Tara Reid.
Your friend Elaine looks like a less retarded, not those photos where Tara Reid looks,
So you're still saying Delane looks mildly retarded?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all, baby. No, Delane, you know Rig love you, baby.
Sorry, she's not listening.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever, she looks like Tara Reid. What are you gonna do?
I don't see it.
I totally see
Delane
it.
Delane is shorter with, like, long red curly hair and...
It's not red.
It's reddish.
She's blonde.
No, she's not.
She looks like Tara Reid. More importantly, she looks like this hot teacher in Florida.
I feel really weird.
Why?
Now you're seeing your...
I'm saying
about how hot Delane
is. Oh, please. You've got the biggest constellation of hot friends, and you know that. You totally know it.
It's true. I have some pretty friends.
You see Sarah out on the... Sarah goes... You go out on the town, and you go out with this pack of girls. And I'm just saying, it's like... really... At any given time, like at any like party that you throw or an attendance at, anytime you're out at some social, like when you did Candidates Gone Wild, and I got the VIP seating because Storm took pity on me, took me in. So I'm sitting there with Storm and her friend, and it's like the whole row in front of me is your friends, and they're all like it's just nothing but hot girls, just one after another. I'm just saying it's a
that's
you,
very nice.
No,
say.
I'm saying you should you know just embrace that fact, oh, just go with it. I'm not trying to make anybody feel awkward. Apparently that's happening anyway. Here's Tim Riley.
On the TV tonight, The Tonight Show will feature a guest appearance by Tom Cruise. That's after he meets with Ellen DeGeneres this afternoon. Also, our Risky Business is on not once but twice tonight on Oxygen.
Who needs to see Risky Business again? Why are they putting it on Oxygen?
I don't know.
That seems like a mismatch.
No, I bet there's some conspiracy theory, like something of the film company that owns
like
the
Paramount?
Rights to... Yeah.
Who is Oxygen? Is Oxygen owned by Paramount, do you suppose?
I'm not sure who owns that. Isn't that, no, Oprah owns that, doesn't she?
Well, but I mean, it's got to be in partnership with somebody. She can't own a whole network outright. I mean, she's rich, but she's not that rich.
Yeah, we should keep tally of how many Tom Cruise movies start playing right now.
Well,
box office flop.
Well, you know that was the whole thing about that Scientology episode getting pulled, allegedly, is that Paramount, which owns Comedy Central, also was putting out MI3, and this is all alleged, that Cruise was... I won't promote MI3 if you let them replay the Scientology episode. And so that's allegedly why that Scientology episode never aired again, is because he threatened to stop promotion, and Paramount is the company that owns both of those things. So, well, whatever. Hmm.
The original Poseidon Adventure is on tonight.
Boy,
that
heard,
movie is messed up.
Man, I've heard nothing but terrible reviews of that new one. I'll still see it, because it's got
Have
Andre
you seen
Brower.
The old one?
Oh, yeah.
That gave me nightmares.
Irwin Allen, baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Irwin Allen, who made that. He made The Towering Inferno. He made
Lost in Space,
Earthquake. He was the king. They called him the Master of Disaster because he did all of these disaster films. And I got a whole Fear of the Water, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole concept of the boat being upside down in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, and it's not a happy story. Like, usually at the end you're like, oh, they all get out alive. Yeah.
No,
not
so
much the case.
The end, they just weld that hole through the bottom of the boat and they're standing at the top going, say, help us! And that's how it ends, which is a big picture of the boat. The whole thing gives me the creeps even to think about it.
Yeah, I've made the mistake of watching that a few times.
I made the mistake of watching Perfect Storm, which was bad enough.
I'll never see that.
No, I'm watching it like, oh, God! It's insane. At the end, they all die. I'll tell you right now, the end of the Perfect Storm, they all die. Every one of them. Dead.
How many people survive in Poseidon Adventure? Like, one?
Tim, I haven't seen the original Poseidon Adventure.
I haven't seen it in years. I don't remember.
I mean,
I think like one or two people out of like the 20 it starts with.
Yeah, I remember. All I remember is Shelley Winters dying.
Yep. Right. And she really did after a while. It's on it again tonight if you haven't seen it in a while.
Okay.
It's on AMC.
Okay. Well, let's take a couple of these calls, and then we'll and then I've got this horrifying story. Jen Lane. We still have to clarify that we're not going to Safeco Field, by the way. For some reason, somebody, it was another impression that we are going to be doing this show from Safeco Field.
It's too hard to get into the Renton Days Inn. That's going to be months
ahead. Were we even at two different hotels?
Didn't they put us in two different?
It was like a Silver Cloud Inn in Renton?
Yeah.
Yeah, Renton. Not even in Seattle. How'd you like to stay in Renton?
You know what? We should take a field trip, too, since we're not going to go to Safeco Field. We should go up to the nuclear power plant.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Look at
you. Well, when does it explode?
12 days. Well, now 11. May 21st. How long is it from here to Rainier?
Oh, only like 40 minutes.
We could totally do that.
Isn't there still some radioactivity stuck in there?
Oh, please.
Maybe I ought to get a chimney sweep and clean it
up. I've
been
to the park there. I'm not radioactive.
May 21st. Now, is that what day of the week is that? Anybody know?
We don't have a calendar.
That's a Sunday.
How did you do that?
I don't know.
You're making that up because you don't know, because I don't know if it's true or not.
No, because I know the 24th is a Wednesday.
All right. Well, let's take some of these phone calls. Make a note to self. Nuclear facility. Somebody remember that. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey.
Oh, it's Kristen. Kristen, how you doing, sister?
Oh, peachy keen.
Hey, your Armenian friends finally got the website working after a short two-week delay.
Can we lay off the Armenians? They've had a hard time.
You know what? I've had it up to here with Armenia.
Well, that's because it's the anniversary of the genocide, so they're a little busy right now.
Oh. Oh, we're sorry.
That's for another time.
Armenia, I barely knew you. What's up?
Well, you know, you were talking about the horrific accidents.
You can't just pull the genocide card every time the Armenians screw something up.
Well, hello. Bush has once again screwed us out of... I was just reading about it today. You know, President Bush was supposed to honor a pledge to recognize the Armenian genocide because those evil Turks still are denying it. So.
Listen to you down on Turkey. Can I tell you this? I don't even really know what we're talking about. I don't even really know what happened in Armenia. I couldn't find it on a map.
Well,
I just like making fun of Armenia because it's a funny word.
Then let's talk about fingers being crushed in a safe door.
But, oh...
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to note that Armenia sounds like some kind of thin pasta that you might get. But, okay, now whose fingers, what safe door?
Well, when I used to work for the Hard Rock Cafe in Los Angeles, and I worked in the office for a while.
Yeah.
And they had one of those huge, like, 4-foot-tall, built-into-the-walls, like, huge, almost walk-in safe.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know exactly the kind you're talking about, yeah.
Well, yeah, I was closing the safe door one day, and I did kind of what you were just talking about. Like, I had my hand around the door instead of on the handle. And, yeah, I didn't quite pull my hand out. And caught my middle finger right on the fingernail. That was more pain than I've ever felt in my entire life.
You know, and it's like, there's something about fingernail injuries. You know what I mean?
Well, because then it wasn't actually the door closing on. It was the next, like, 8 hours.
Uh-huh. And when it turns all purple and black.
Yeah, and it felt like every ounce of my blood was in the tip of my finger.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you can feel... Have you ever done this? Have you ever injured the tips of your fingers and you can feel your heartbeat in your fingertips?
Oh, yeah.
The pulse.
Totally what this was.
Bump, bump. And you're like, you know, it's every... And
it was, and then I had to go and wait. You know, I went to the emergency room to make sure I didn't, fracture any of the bones in there because it was my cello playing.
Now, people often think of that it is your private area that has this distinction, but it is actually true that your fingertips have more nerve endings than any other part of your body.
Oh, my God, it was awful.
Yeah, well, and did you ever notice this? Here's the thing. I don't understand how this works. Did you ever notice that injuries to your fingers hurt a lot more when it's cold outside?
It's true.
Why is that? I don't understand. It's all the mysteries of the human body that I don't...
Well, because don't your... I don't know. I was going to say, because when you're cold, don't your blood vessels contract or something?
I don't know.
Has anything to do
with
it.
But you know what? Everybody knows the finger thing and the fingernail thing. It's like bending that fingernail back. How much does that hurt? Did you ever see that Twin Peaks where they're jamming the tweezers right underneath the fingernail?
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, like pulling out the
typewriter letter.
Oh.
And they're like, and they have this long, and it's a corpse, and it's Laura Palmer, right?
No, it's not Laura Palmer. It's Teresa Banks.
But it's a corpse. He's dead. She's dead, and there's this long lingering close-up of her fingernail.
Well, there is one under Laura Palmer, too, but the close-up one is Teresa
Banks. And it's like, hey, watch as we stick these tweezers under the fingernail.
And it's just, and you feel like that, you hear the kind of...
Yeah, and you can hear your brain folding in on itself because it's so terrible to watch.
Scary.
Thank you, sister. Hey, when we do Rick Emerson the musical, are you game to be part of that?
Oh, I'm totally on board for that.
We're going to have you sing like a little, I've been on hold, why don't you pick me up? I figure an on hold song, sung over the phone, that's got to be part of it.
Whatever you need, baby, I'm there for you.
That's what I'm talking about. See, that's devotion. That's love right there. Thank you, Kristen. There you go.
Thank you.
Kristen and Connie.
Oh, we need to break. What is with the time today? It's just flying.
What is the deal with time? And I still got this horrible story to read.
I know you do.
Tim only did like half a story here.
Oh, don't worry about it. They'll make up for it later.
You've become so laissez-faire about things.
Well, somebody has to be.
Okay.
All right.
Are we breaking?
Yeah.
Back after this.